Welcome back here with David Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. We're joined by Benjamin Tall, who's the Deputy Chief Economist, CIBC World Markets. And Faisal, we're talking about how are we finishing up this year? What is the future hold for us? And we've covered, I think, in great detail, Canada. But the real driving force from a global perspective is what's going on in the United States.
Yeah, and I think people forget that, you know, when we just live in our silo of Canada, the big influence that is around the world is the United States. And a lot of the media attention is to the United States as well. So we try to think about what they're going to do, how it's going to impact us. But I think there's a different change in tone, especially in the last Federal Reserve commentary. Yep. I think when you start listening to between the lines, reading between the lines of what's being said, there's a bit of a hint of a change happening. I want to confirm if my hunch is accurate. Let's with what the data and the research is showing. And that's why we have Benjamin Tall here. Benny, let's go right into what your thoughts were throughout 2023 with the U.S. Federal Reserve. And what are your views of what they're doing and what can they be doing for 2024?
Yes. So let's start with the notion that the gap between the Fed funds rate and the Bank of Canada rate is too narrow. Usually it's 75, 100 basis points. Now it's like 25, 50 basis points. So it's either the Fed is undershooting or the Bank of Canada is overshooting. And as I told you, I think that the Bank of Canada is overshooting. And that's why the Bank of Canada will be cutting earlier than the Fed. That's one thing. The other is that you look at GDP. We are basically at zero. Over the past 6 months, 9 months, we are basically at zero, very close to a recession, per capita recession. The US, 4.5%, 5%, like China. Crazy. And the question is why? There are many reasons, but first of all, it's the sensitivity to higher interest rates. Canada is more sensitive than the US because we have more debt. We know that. And our mortgages are for 5 years, they're for 30 years. So in Canada, people are starting to save because they know that they have to reset their mortgages. The US, wake me up when it's relevant. So their savings is actually going down. The consumer is stronger. So the sensitivity to higher interest rates is definitely higher in Canada relative to the US. The consumer is doing better. Fiscal policy. If you think that Trudeau is spending a lot, try Biden. We are talking about 4-5% of GDP deficit. So that's a major injection of energy to the economy. And so we have a situation which overall the US is doing relatively okay. The labor market is relatively strong. The consumer is there. And productivity in the US is rising by 3%. In Canada, it's negative. So all those forces suggest that Canada is lagging behind the US. Fine. However, the US is going to slow down. Fiscal policy next year will be basically zero in terms of the contribution. The savings rate cannot continue to go down. In fact, it will have to go up. And productivity cannot improve more than 3.5% because it's very difficult to do. So all those forces that were injecting energy into the US will not be there. The US will slow down to about 1%. That's actually something that will give you the second leg of the decline in long-term interest rates. That's crucial. So a slowing US economy will be actually good news for the economy and for the Bank of Canada and for the Fed. So we are in a situation which bad news is good news. Namely, the slowing economy is actually good news for the Fed and for the Bank of Canada, because otherwise it means that you are losing the fight against inflation. So I suggest that the labor market in the US will soften, and we expect to see some softening in the first half of 2024, but we don't see the Fed cutting until, let's say, September of 2024, because they are still ahead of us. The Bank of Canada will be the pioneer there. The Fed will cut later. So we see the Fed cutting only by 75 basis points during the course of 2024.
The theme that we heard, Benny, through 2023 has been soft landing, no landing, recession in the United States. The debate's still out there. We're hearing more and more. And this is where I was saying, reading between the lines, the Federal Reserve in the last communication kind of hinted toward that may not be a recession. Did I read that right? Is that hunch correct? And what are your thoughts about a potential recession for the U.S.?
You know what? It's a much ado about nothing. It's a recession, no recession, who cares? Depends what kind of a recession. That's, I think, the way to look at it. So soft landing and mild recession, same thing. So if you have 0.3% GDP growth or negative 0.3%, same thing. If you tell me we're talking 2, 3, 4% negative, that's the real recession. For this, you need a significant overshooting. And that's a risk to the economy. Namely, if all those scenarios about inflation are not going through. Namely, you have a situation in which inflation is more sticky than expected. Service inflation, wages are rising, unions, all this business. You have a situation in which inflation will surprise on the upside. The Fed, the Bank of Canada, will have to continue to raise interest rates. That's a recession. That's a real recession. If you don't do that, mini recession, mild recession, soft landing, call it whatever you want, the same thing.
With what's happening in the U.S. and your forecast for the U.S., especially with interest rate decisions, which countries get the biggest impact, negative or positive, with the Federal Reserve? Where's the areas of risk outside of the U.S. because of the U.S.?
First of all, not because of the U.S., because of itself, China is slowing down. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm not bullish on commodity prices, because demand from China will slow down. They have major issues there in terms of real estate, in terms of the consumer not taking over, losing export market share. So that's something that China will be there regardless of what's happening in the U.S. And clearly, a slowing U.S. economy is reducing their exportability in China. So that's something that will impact emerging markets that depend on the U.S. and clearly China. And that's where I'm, for the first 6 months of the year, not extremely optimistic.
What about, if we can extend just a quick comment on outside of that? So Europe, of course, we've had some guidance from the ECB and central banks in Europe. Your thought then where Europe is in this whole process relative to North America?
I think Europe is doing relatively okay compared to where it could have been. Remember, the Russia situation, the energy, the dependency on Russia. It seems that Europe and Germany in particular were able to find a way to manipulate their way into some supply that is not risking their economy the way it was a year ago, a year and a half ago. So I think actually with the ECB done, the euro actually gaining some ground over the American dollar, overall I think that the euro will do not great, but fine in the second half of the year. We still see another quarter or two of weak economy. The labor market is still struggling. But beyond that, I see a recovery in the second half of the year following the example of the U.S.
If you were to look around the world and you were to rank for opportunity of growth, I know we're talking about growth in a declining economic situation, where would you rank the top three, or which countries or regions would you say are top three?
You know what? I'm bullish on the U.S. I think the U.S. will do fine. I think that productivity in the U.S. is moving in the right direction. They would slow down now because they need to slow down. I think that the minute interest rates in the U.S. go down, you will have a significant injection of energy into the U.S. economy. They are very well positioned to take advantage of lower interest rates. Their vulnerability to higher interest rates was not there, and their ability to take advantage of low interest rates is higher than in Europe and definitely Canada. So I will go with the U.S. absolutely, followed to an extent by Canada, and especially if you look at manufacturing in Canada, that will benefit from offshoring and the deglobalization that is happening. I think I would like to be in some pockets in Canada, including, by the way, energy.
Okay, we've got just 1 minute left, Benny. What would you advise advisors to keep their eye on? So what makes this a worse situation, in your opinion? One or two economic data points we got to watch?
I think two things. First of all, if you look at the trends that are happening in the economy, deglobalization, just-in-case inventories, the labor market that is very tight, the green, they're all putting negative pressure on profitability, of profit margin. There is no question about it. So companies will have to struggle with margins. So I will focus on companies that can actually maintain margins through technology. So first of all, expect earning growth to be revised downward. Don't be surprised by that. But also look at the technology and companies that use technology to offset the decline in margins. And I think that's something, those are the winners of the future.
Terrific. Benny, I want to thank you as always for taking some time with us today and helping, I guess, explain and put some context around what's happened and what we expect going forward. Thanks for your time today.
A pleasure. Good luck.
Thank you very much. We've been joined by Benjamin Tall, Deputy Chief Economist, CIBC World Markets.
So Benny actually said something very interesting in regards to what's the kind of companies you should be looking for going into 2024 with the changes, especially with technology. There's a process. There's an approach that you take when you look at how to build a retirement portfolio. We call it the growth bucket. We call it the income bucket. The process of building the growth bucket, the five pillars, that's what Benny was referring to when you're looking at opportunities to invest. That's what we're going to be discussing at our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, January 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Country Hills Golf Club. But you do need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right. You want to know the secret to a successful retirement in 2024? Well, I encourage you to stick around after the break. That will be our discussion. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.